All right, it's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Terry with you tonight on another Monday night. And where you are, as always, taking your phone calls at 812-333-2665. Plenty to talk about tonight as we have new Super Bowl champions. And they are indeed new as the Philadelphia Eagles won their first Super Bowl a couple tries previously, but had never come out on top. But now they are Super Bowl champions and the Patriots are not. And those of us around here are pretty happy about that fact in particular. So we've got that to talk about, but we've also got IU basketball to talk about, as over the weekend they hosted on national television number 5 Michigan State and lost 63-60, fought the whole way through. But came up on the short end of the stick. They're going to tip off about 7 o'clock here right at the end of the show against Rutgers on the road. So this is another one of those quick turnarounds. We've had several of them. But quickly back to Michigan State's game. Again, that was a home game. That was the second time they have played Michigan State in the last 3 weeks. Part of this 7 games in 18 days thing that started with the visit to Michigan State. They have lost 5 of the 6 games so far, with this being the 7th game tonight. They've lost 4 straight. Terry, we've got to assess this team right now. You know, this is clearly not a team that's going to the NCAA tournament. It's a team that's beat up. So it's, you know, Colin Hartman's in and out of the lineup, wasn't able to play a lot the other night. We'll see on a game-to-game basis. Deron Davis is out for the year. You know, there's a lot going on with this team. But at minimum, I guess you got to like the way they played against Michigan State, because this is one of the better rebounding and physical teams in the nation, and they absolutely dominated them on the boards.
Dominated them on the boards. Only 8 turnovers. You know, you've played Purdue here, top 5 team, Michigan State, number 5. I mean, even if we shoot as good as we did just against Purdue, we beat Michigan State, I think. Easy. Tremendous effort. Kind of agree with one of the guys in the HT. Said you really only allowed 1 moral victory per year, aren't you? We've had 3.
Well.
It is just a great effort the other night. When I heard the board discrepancies, which I hadn't really paid attention watching it, just knowing, hey, we're doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I got home and was watching the second half and then listened to the post-game show, wow.
Yeah, 53-29.
Unbelievable.
Now, we did not, the Hoosiers did not shoot well, 19 of 66 from the field. It was only 6 of 35 in the first half, but they dominated the offensive glass. And again, this is where, you know, clearly Michigan State, it's not like they don't hit their defensive glass at all, but 25 offensive rebounds. So there's a lot to be had for the Hoosiers because they missed just about everything.
Yeah.
But again, to collect 25, to collect that number against such a good rebounding team, what sparks that? Is that a, you know, they took it lightly thing and our guys went at them? I mean, because I wouldn't expect that kind of discrepancy to happen, especially with a Tom Izzo team.
Yeah, no, and usually they're one of the better rebounding teams in the league. I mean, they hit their own offensive board so well over the whole time Izzo's been there. I mean, I think it's just flat, you know, these guys want to play. They're playing hard. They want to win game. They knew what it was going to take, and sometimes it's this. The word "want to" is all you need. And we show, and especially Freddie McSwain, of course, and Juwan Morgan, double-double. It's just one of those things where we know. I think the guys know they're outmanned. I think the guys know they're hurt, and I know it doesn't take long to figure out we're shooting poorly, and. Maybe it was talked about before the game, but conscious efforts to block out. Everybody hit the boards, you know, even shooting 72% from the free throw line, which is above what we have been. I mean, all we have to do is essentially hit 2 more buckets in the whole day, and we win the ball game. That's, again, great effort. You can't fault the effort. We've went, you and I have talked, and Glass and I have talked throughout the year, as far as shooters, I used to say we had 5 capable shooters. Well, one of them transferred. I've since found out that Al cannot shoot.
Yeah.
Durham cannot shoot. poor Josh Newkirk can't get out of his own way right now. He just has no confidence in himself whatsoever,
he's
let alone
totally
shooting.
Totally discombobulated right now.
Yeah, Colin Hartman's hurt and has not been shooting the ball well.
Mm-hmm.
So I have now narrowed that to Devontae Green and Rob Johnson, and they couldn't throw the ball in the ocean either the other day. Collective effort offensively poor. But you got a team tonight that's playing at home, playing everybody tough at home.
Yeah.
Had Purdue the other day, only lost by 2 points. I didn't see any of that game, so I can't tell you how that went throughout the ball game.
A lot of points, too, 78-76.
But I can tell you that they've almost beaten – didn't they beat – they beat Michigan State there and then took Michigan State to overtime at East Lansing, if I'm not mistaken.
This is a tough – I mean
– this isn't going to be a walkover tonight.
We've talked about it all year. I mean, the bottom of the Big Ten is as tough as you can remember it. You know, when you're talking about Wisconsin maybe being the worst team playing right now, it's a weird year. But, I mean, Illinois played tough. Penn State always plays tough, and they're creeping their way up into the top of the league. Nebraska is one of the top four or five teams in the Big Ten this year. Those teams are always been playing tough, and Rutgers is right up there with them now. Talent-wise, you know, they're going to rely a little bit more, I think, on some one-on-one game out there with, you know, Corey Sanders is as good as it gets. But it's going to be a tough trip tonight. I mean, there's no question about it. Before we talk about the shooting woes too deeply for the Hoosiers, and I know you went into, you know, some individual players there, I want to talk a little bit about Freddie McSwain. And, you know, this is a guy that came in without a lot of fanfare, the JUCO kid. You know, he doesn't shoot free throws particularly well. But all he did the other night was totally bust his butt, and it made all the difference in the world. I mean, he had 16 rebounds, only 8 points, but I mean, in the right spot at the right time, you know, occasionally maybe taking a shot at you don't want, but he played 29 minutes, 16 rebounds. The guy was all over the place. And, you know, for a team that has been getting tougher over this, you know, most of this season, do you see Freddie as, you know, as keeping this role now? Because earlier in the year, it was like a 12-minute, 15-minute role, and he was great in. You double those numbers, can he keep that up? And, you know, do people sag off him and make him yet another guy on the offensive end that's a little bit of a liability?
Yeah, I would if he's out there.
Mm-hmm.
I would never let him get out there. I'd make sure he's in the paint at all times. If he's productive, and he's gotten lots of rebounds in all kinds of games.
Yeah. He's been great at it.
Yeah, he's been great at that. He's undersized at 6'6", but he's built like a bull and strong as an ox, looks like. So I think if he continues to rebound and play that role, I think he'll continue. Will he start him? I don't know about that, but I don't know why he wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right now, you know, his toughness is much needed, very appreciated. And let's face it, Juwan Morgan needs some help.
Yeah.
And where that help would, I'd like to see that come from some other sources too. But battling big guys down low right now, I mean, Zach McRoberts is a great hustler. He does a lot of things, but he's 6'7", and looks like he's a 180.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Hartman. They're not built big. Freddie can go under there and battle anybody. He proved that the other night, and he really didn't do a bad job against Purdue either. So I think at this time, anybody that's productive, I think Archie's going to have him on the floor. Devontae Green has started, you know, 6 assists, no turnovers the other night,
mm-hmm.
20 points a game before that. So Freddie's got his chance. You know, we have six games left, and then the Big Ten tournament. Depending on what we do in those games, we may be in the NIT or we'll be going home.
Yeah.
And if Freddie wants to finish out his IU career here, let's face it, he was brought in by Tom Crean because Tom knew that Troy Williams was leaving.
Yeah.
And he wanted another athlete of equal size.
A big body. Yeah.
And to be fair, he didn't help a lot last year, but we also had three guys that are in the NBA or the G League right now that aren't on this team this year. And I think the young man stepped up completely.
Yeah.
I think he's done a great job. And I to answer your question, long-winded, yeah, I think as long as he's doing what he's doing right now, he's going to have minutes.
How long can you keep him and McRoberts out there together? I mean, Freddie doesn't have a problem putting up a shot. And Zach is starting to get more confident in his shooting, at least early in games. Now, he the last couple games, he's put up a couple early and then he stopped. But he's doing it, and he's putting some in the bucket. He had foul trouble the other night, so you didn't get as long a time as you might have gotten, given that you started McSwain. How long can you stick those two out there? Because you're going to sag off of the two of them. You are.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I like about Zach is he has started at least taking his shot when they're there. And that you've got to. And he's hit a few of them. You can leave them out there longer if we are consistently getting the ball to Juwan and he's scoring, or Rob, or Devontae, or Josh would have a time where they're hitting shots. Again, they're all capable. Newkirk had some great games last year, proving that he could shoot. This year, he's not been able to shoot at all. So, depending on what's out there, I think he will leave them out there if they're just completely, again, like if we play another game like Michigan State, he can't leave them all in both of them in there too long. He's going to have to try to get another person down there to shoot, like Hartman, for instance. So, we'll see. But right now, I think Archie's looking for anybody that can not only give him minutes, give him hustle, which they're doing, hitting the boards. I think he'll keep them in there and keep his fingers crossed that the other three guys can come up with some offense.
Well, we'll find out here in just a little while. Tip-off is 7 o'clock from Piscataway, New Jersey, IU at Rutgers, in just a little while. We've got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is a phone number. More IU basketball when we get back from the break. Dave and Terry with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Terry here on News Talk 96.1 at AM 1370 WGCL. Some programming notes for you. Tomorrow night we have college basketball. We've got a few games this week, so check out WGCLradio.com for our whole schedule. But tomorrow night, 8:45, starts the pregame for Michigan State at Iowa. On Wednesday, Glass and I will be over at Bobby's Colorado Steakhouse, and we'll be doing the Monroe County Hall of Fame Reveal Show. 6 to 7, just like normal, but we'll have Dave Piller on with us. We'll talk about all the new inductees into the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame. That group has done a great job over the last several years finding folks that made their names here locally, in high school and college and otherwise. And we'll get to find the new batch out on Wednesday night with us. Thursday, we return to college basketball. UCLA is at Arizona. 9:45 is a pregame for that. And then Friday night, we're back to high school basketball with South heading on the road to face Columbus North. 7:30 is tip-off for that game on Friday night. And Saturday, we go back to college. UNC is at North Carolina State. 1:45 pregame for that. 812-333-2665 is our phone number. Talking IU basketball. They play here at 7 o'clock at Rutgers, so tipping off here shortly. But looking back once again, a game effort, a tough effort against Michigan State, but on the short end of the stick, 63-60. Michigan State's been putting up all kinds of points, and which is a little, I won't say unusual for them, but, you know, I mean, they've kind of made their name on hitting the boards and playing defense, and they still do that. But they've been, you know, they've been doing a lot better, or a lot more, I should say, putting the ball in the basket, scoring some big points. They've also been turning the ball over a lot. And that's, you know, if there's a couple things that went on in this game, and if there's one thing I'm disappointed about in the way it went, is that the Hoosiers, with the way they've been playing defense, weren't able to create more turnovers, because that is one bugaboo that Michigan State has had as of recently. And if you're not shooting the ball, you got to get some extra possessions to get it, and they weren't able to do a lot of that, only 11.
Yeah, that's true. And we are one of the leaders in forcing turnovers in the Big Ten, if I'm not mistaken. But they do, I mean, especially when you play a Michigan State team that, although Tum-Tum Nairns is a senior, they're starting four sophomores and a junior, a freshman. That's one reason they're making a lot of turnovers. But for some reason, Tum-Tum does take care of the ball a little bit better. A couple of the other guys off the bench are really not that bad. That would have been big to get a couple, and especially some home runs, a steal or something, and get a fast break or a dunk out of it. Not only to keep our crowd up, but to get the guys going. It just didn't happen. But other than that, I mean, outstanding defense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Tom Crean guy, but I'll give Archie credit. The way he teaches to how to defend the high pick and roll
mm-hmm.
and the recovery by the bigger guys, we have done masterfully well this year. And especially the longer the year went on, the better it's gotten, and it seems like it's second nature to the guys, the bigger guys now, as far as how they hedge, how far they go,
mm-hmm.
how quick the guy that got picked has got to move through it, how quick they back up. You see the rotations behind them.
Well, the rotations, too. I mean, that's sometimes the hardest part is,
no, it is
everybody being on the same page, and they are. They're doing a great job.
There's just so many easy it's not easy to play defense, but there's in what he's teaching is so easy by where the ball is on the floor is what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're on the weak side down in the corner with your guy and the ball's way out on the top left, you don't need to be anywhere near your guy. And that's where those rotations, that's one of the key rotations down low
mm-hmm.
for several, you know, to pick up two to three different people. So we've done that just fantastic. And you know, I hope it keeps up. And as we get more athletic and, you know, bigger, better basketball players coming in here. You get Deron Davis healthy next year. I hope that defense carries over, and I'm sure with Archie here it will. And very, very positive right there. We need that, and now we need to find a way to score.
Well, as you mentioned, they've done some good things out there. They're still hitting the boards. That's one thing the last couple Tom Crean teams did very well is they hit
yes.
the boards. Guards hit the boards. I mean, James Blackman Jr., you know, he caught a lot of hell from a lot of fans for shot selection and turnovers at times. But one thing he did, for his size, was rebound the ball pretty well. They have always been pretty good at that. And the other night, I mean, it was fantastic. But let's look at the shooting, because one of the reasons they had that high number of rebounds that they had was that they missed a lot of shots.
Yeah.
Now, they hit the offensive glass, which was fantastic. I mean, again, that the percentage there was amazing. If you're a shooter, I'm not saying anybody's as good as a shooting team as we've had in the past. Clearly, this team struggles with it. But you're supposed to shoot when you've got an open shot. So give me the thought process when your head's in a bit of a funk with your shot. I mean, what do you do? How do you get out of it? Because, you know, I'm on Twitter before these games. All the press that's at these games say Josh Newkirk is one of the first guys that comes out there, and then he can't hit anything all night long. You know, so it's not like these guys aren't working at it. So give me a little bit of the thought process when you're in that kind of funk.
I've never been in that type of
funk. Oh, come on.
No. Well, one thing is try to – if you're – a jump shooter. If you're somebody, for better or worse, Rob Johnson's a jump shooter.
Mm-hmm.
He's not really a point guard. He's just a guard.
Mm-hmm.
His forte is probably shooting threes. If I'm struggling from outside, the first thing you want to do, get a drive going. Get in the lane, get fouled. Maybe two free throws will get you off the snide. I like their offense. They're getting shots.
Yeah.
They got to hit them.
Yeah.
Other than Juwan Morgan, they got to hit them. I mean, Freddie McSwain misses layups, too, on running this offense.
Yeah.
But mainly, I mean, number one, don't stop shooting. You know, you may neglect a shot or two to keep the ball moving to someone else, keep yourself moving. And above all, if you are a good shooter, you've got to take the shots when they come to you. Somebody like Newkirk right now, who's really a marginal shooter anyway,
mm-hmm.
but had some good games last year, now it seems to be affecting other parts of his game.
Yeah.
And that's the thing you can't do. Okay, I'm missing shots. I am going to try to get to the bucket and get fouled. But the other thing I'm going to do, my guy is not scoring. He's not getting the ball. If he does get it, he's not getting around me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make sure I'm going to get guys nice shots, nice passes for good shots within the offense. And if I can't shoot, okay, I'm going to do everything else. Right now, he is so down. And it doesn't help that our dumb student section is booing the kid.
Getting on him, yeah.
I mean, you know what? What you should be doing right now is giving him a standing ovation and telling him to keep playing. Don't worry about it.
Well, let me ask you this then. He's had a rough couple games. He played 26 minutes. Again, I always say you want to know what a coach thinks of a kid in any sport. You look at the playing time. Because the coach knows what's going on in the kid's life. off the court, how hard he works, you know, whether he's making grades, you know, what all, they know all of that stuff that us fans don't have any idea. So you look at the minutes, you look at how much they're playing, and that'll tell you what the coach thinks about a kid and his contribution to the team. So clearly he likes Josh and he needs him out there. So what is Josh bringing to the game if you're not seeing a stuffed stat sheet here? Because he struggled to shoot the ball. And, you know, he's not here to put in 20 a night, but he's got to be able to hit a couple shots, maybe get to the bucket a few times. He's not had huge assist numbers. So what is he bringing right now?
I think it's just senior, being a leader. This is third year here.
We only had 8 turnovers on the night.
I know.
I mean, we got to keep that part in mind. That seems to start being forgotten that we're getting so much better at that.
We are. I think Archie trusts him. I think he trusts him. With the basketball, I mean, the only time he really struggles is when he gets going too fast, trying to make too much happen. And when you're not really a good offensive player to start with and you try to be and move fast, you're going to make mistakes. But I think ultimately he trusts him. Ultimately, you know, it's the third year he's been here, second year as a player. I think a lot of the kids look up to him. I mean, we don't have many seniors.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the main thing is really it's just Archie goes, he's not bringing us much, but and unless he's making turnovers, then you see him set him immediately.
Yeah, he does that.
But he's not giving us much, but he's not hurting us.
Right.
And it's kind of – it's one of those juggling acts as – and I think Archie also just kind of like, I'm gonna give him every chance to pull himself out of this. Because of someone like him, and we've seen Rob Johnson have some games where he's gotten hot.
Yeah.
Devontae Green's had a couple of good games. We got 6 games, and I'll be honest, we can win every one of those games. And if all of a sudden we had a 6-game winning streak going into the – now, you know, people might – you're nuts. I know, well, we've already – you're starting to play some teams that we've beaten. And Illinois, which we could have beaten.
Yeah. You know, the last 6 games, they could win all. They're not going to.
No.
But I mean, they could. I mean, you look at Nebraska. You go to Nebraska, that's going to be a tough trip. Tonight's going to be a tough game. And then, of course, Ohio State comes to town, and that's overlooking the other teams on the schedule. But they could. So I'm going to switch to his replacement then, too. Because you want to take the temperature of Indiana's season, and it seems to be whatever Devontae Green's temperature is that night. I mean, he's hot, he's cold, he's all over the place. He's, you know, one night he plays 4 minutes, the next night he plays 35 and puts in 20 points when the game's already decided, by the way. Great game the other night. Not a great scoring game, but 6 assists, 0 turnovers. I mean, his biggest bugaboo has been turnovers. But 3 of 11 shooting, 0 for 4. He still puts up bad shots. 7 points, 3 rebounds. Again, the 6 assists and no turnovers. The turnovers, obviously, a huge key. But at this point, does it do any good? Can you get something back by making the switch there and giving Devontae Green more of the minutes, starting him out and bringing Newkirk off the bench? Or does that just stick Newkirk in an even worse spot right now?
That's obviously, I think that. My opinion is that's what Archie thinks, too. Because first part of the year, who were our 3 guards we were starting? Green,
yeah.
Johnson, and Newkirk
mm-hmm.
for a long time. Al Durham got in there for a while, and then, you know, we made all kinds of lineup changes.
Yeah.
Okay. I think the biggest thing is I would think if I was a coach, and I'm sure he talks to him all the time to test his, you know, where is this kid
right.
mentally?
Right.
How's he talking to me about situations? He either trusts him implicitly, which I think he does. And the other thing may be, you know what, if I take this kid out of the lineup right now, I might lose him completely.
Yeah. He only got 6 games left.
Yeah.
I mean,
he only got 6
season.
Games left. And anyone who's followed Archie Miller's career, while we may not be an NCAA team, he wants to play more. And if that means, you know, winning 4 or 5 of this last 6 and maybe a Big Ten tournament game and getting us 3 or 4 games over 500, they better get busy because the NIT is not taking us if we're not
no.
over. We've been over 500 and they not take us in recent years.
Yeah.
So right now, I mean, the other night, I thought to myself, I think it's time to put Devontae back in the lineup and bring Josh off.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't think it's going to happen. I mean, I just think at this point, maybe Archie just feels like I can't do that to him. His practice habits are too good. He's been there. He's worked hard. I'm not taking him out of the lineup just because he can't hit a bucket.
Yeah.
That's got to be what it is.
812-333-2665 is our phone number. IU tips off at Piscataway at 7 o'clock. Just a little while away here from the next game. Again, another two-day turnaround here, another quick one. This should be the last of those. You do have a couple 2- and 3-day turnarounds from here on out, but nothing quite as quick as a Saturday, Monday for the rest of the season. Well, at least till the Big Ten tournament,
right,
if you win a game there. But looking forward then, as you mentioned, the schedule is there's some games you can get. They're not easy by any stretch. Illinois, Illinois took it at you when you were over there for a while. Minnesota, I can't figure out Minnesota, and they're down here. Iowa, you'd expect Iowa is going to be a better team at home. And then you'd have to beat Ohio State in your final game. What is it down the stretch for this team that's going to make the biggest difference between, winning 4 or 5 of those as opposed to, losing 4 or 5, because they could just as easily lose 4 or 5 of those.
Absolutely, they could. I don't know. Our effort's so good. Our defense is so consistent right now.
It just seems you can't bang your head against the wall and say, if we could just shoot better. We've been saying that all year long. I mean, this team is – I don't know when you expect this team is suddenly going to get hot and stay there, you know?
No, that's just it. And I've been one of those guilty of saying, too, hey, we've got capable shooters. We can't be cold all year. Well, you know what?
Maybe we can.
It's getting late early, as our friend Hebe used to say.
The long nuclear winter.
Yeah. But the thing is, you look at all the rest of these teams, there's nobody on any of these teams until you get back to Ohio State that scare you. Nobody that, we've beaten Minnesota up there. We got Illinois.
Nebraska's playing really well.
Nebraska's playing really, really, really well.
And I'm telling you, you're going to get punched in the mouth tonight.
Oh, yeah.
There's no question.
Tonight might be the hardest one of the bunch. It very well could be as easy as all we got to do is shoot, and we got a shot to win the ballgames.
Yeah.
And that, I got nothing else, because if we continue to bring the defensive intensity, if we can rebound against Michigan State and their length and tenacity, I don't see anybody else other than maybe Minnesota that goes to the boards that hard.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, it could be just as simple as a couple of guys, two other guys to help Juwan Morgan score. It seems so simple, doesn't it? Basketball's a simple game.
How do you get Juwan Morgan more touches? This isn't a complaint towards Juwan by any stretch. He's been playing amazing. But I'd like to get him the ball even more. I'd like to get people the hell away from him and out of the lane. I mean, it seemed like the last two games, all of a sudden everybody's stuffing the lane again on offense even. I mean, our guys are running off him and things. How do we keep people away from him? Or are we just kind of – is everybody going to be sagging off the three-point line because we can't hit anything?
Well, that's one thing, is that they're going to make it hard for him to get the ball, because we haven't shown anybody that we necessarily can stand outside and shoot. So why do we – want to be spread away from the one guy right now that's killing everybody, and that would be him. So other than just trying to get the ball down the floor faster, because he'll run the floor,
mm-hmm.
I mean, no problem with that, but I think you hit on it. The key is we need to hit some shots to try to open up the middle a little bit to keep people away from him, and if nothing else, we need to spread the floor and drive, and he will be a target upon the drive. If we don't get to the basket and get a foul, you look for Juwan as you get in the lane.
Now, again, down the stretch, here's what you've got. This is the end of the 7 games in 18 days, and thank God for that. You come home for 2 games. It's Minnesota on Friday, and then what's it work out to? Wednesday, I believe it is. Illinois is here.
Correct.
And then on the weekend, next weekend, the following weekend, you go to Iowa. You got a 2-day turnaround, and you go to Nebraska, And then you closed on the 23rd, 8 p.m., against Ohio State here in Bloomington. So, look, Nebraska's playing really well right now. But Minnesota, Illinois, Iowa, those are all gettable. You got Ohio State at home. You know, I know you are still skeptical to a degree of Ohio State. And this, I mean, they're playing their way out of that. I don't know when you're going to have that light bulb come on for you, but they're winning, so that's all they care about.
And they don't care what I think, I guarantee you that.
But, I mean, you do have some chances here, mm-hmm. because, you know, I agree with you on Ohio State on one thing. I think they're good. I don't think they're as talented as Purdue and Michigan State are.
I think
they stand head and shoulders to me, just talent-wise, above everybody else in a get-into-the-Final-Four kind of way. I'm not sure. I still don't have that feeling about Ohio State. I don't know why, but I don't.
I don't either. I mean, but they've already, you know, they come up and play Purdue pretty soon. We'll see how that goes. And mm-hmm. they've beaten Michigan State.
Yeah.
Handily,
yeah.
if I recall. I think worse than they beat us. So, you know, but they're far and away your third best team right now in the Big Ten,
mm-hmm.
I think.
They go to Purdue on Wednesday night.
Okay. Hey, that's, you know, regardless, they're going to have a high seed in the Big Ten tourney. They're playing for a championship, regular season. Hey, they are fun to watch. I'll give Chris Holtmann credit. He's done a great job, and he's just got some kids that has not had any success there. Picked up a couple of new ones, and the ones that are left over are hungry to get something done, and they've embraced what he's selling. That's for sure. He's a good coach.
They sure are. 11-1 in second place in the Big Ten. Again, everybody thought they were a bottom half of the Big Ten team before the season, just losing so much talent.
Yep.
We got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. We'll preview IU's game against Rutgers and talk a little bit about the Super Bowl last night. That's right, big football game last night. Got to take a quick break. Dave and Terry with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Terry here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Programming notes again for you. We've got a bunch of college basketball this week. Tomorrow night, Michigan State is at Iowa at 8:45. Thursday night, UCLA is at Arizona, 9:45 is pregame there. And Saturday, we've got North Carolina at North Carolina State, 1:45 starts your pregame there. On Friday night, we return to high school boys basketball with South going on the road to Columbus to face the North Bulldogs. 7:30 is tip-off for that game on Friday night. And Wednesday night, we're going to switch things up just a little bit here as Glass and I will be at Bobby's Colorado Steakhouse to help announce the 2018 class of the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame. So they've been doing a great job with the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame the last several years since they started it back up. And we're going to find out who the newest class is. And so that's a great honor for us to get to go on the road and be able to do that with Dave Piller and the folks there. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. So looking tonight, Hoosiers tip off here in about 15 minutes or so. They're at Rutgers. Rutgers is 2-10, two victories at home. Iowa and Wisconsin. They've played Purdue and Michigan State, though, both very tough overtime at Michigan State, and only went down by two to Purdue. Now, they did go to Illinois in the game before Purdue and were down 40 points in the second half before they lost 91-60. So it's just, I mean, you're not sure what you're going to get out of this team, but what you generally get out of them is they're a tough team. I mean, they play hard, they're tough. The Sanders kid, I mean, this kid can light it up if you let him. Keeping him from getting hot. This defense has been about, you know, learning the rotations, understanding them better. As you mentioned, high ball screen has so much of that in the game nowadays. So when you look at a guy like Sanders, that's so much of a focus of a team like Rutgers. If you're Archie, do you do something? I won't say drastically different, but do you do something different? Do you do more switching on those screens when you're not used to doing those screens so that he doesn't get off? Or do you just kind of stick with your game plan because that's what you do?
I'm guessing you stick with your game plan. I mean, so far we, of course, Corey Sanders is like a miniature Russell Westbrook. So he's very, very aggressive. He will drive on you. He'll pull up. I can't see us doing something a whole lot different right now. It's too late in the game. Our defense has been good. And we've got a few guys. Rob Johnson can guard him. Devontae can guard him. Josh Newkirk can guard him. one-on-one. But when the picks come into play, which they will, we've just got to hedge. Do the same thing we've been doing. It's been so successful. It's worked so well. If he gets away from us a couple times, then we'll see Archie make a change. But right now, I don't see changing anything just for the sake of this one guy. I mean, we've played some other pretty good basketball players this year. Let's just do what we do and then see. I mean, he can always make an adjustment. If that's going bad, he'll tell them to do something different. We'll see. These are a mean bunch of guys.
Yeah.
It's like they're all from New Jersey. Well, we know they're not, but and they're mean.
And I'm telling you, I mean, you're going to have Illinois here in a couple weeks. Minnesota, you know, plays hard. I mean, I know they're having a weird year, but they play hard. And you're going to go to Nebraska here in a couple weeks. They play hard, real hard right now and are in great shape in the Big Ten. Sanders, by the way, he's put up 95 more shots than the next closest guy on his team.
So no surprise.
He likes to put it up. We've gotten word that they will be starting. IU will be starting Devontae Green and Freddie McSwain. We don't have the entire starting lineup just yet. I'll see if I can find that here shortly. Nope, here you go. It is Robert Johnson, Juwan Morgan, Zach Roberts, Mick Roberts in addition. So you've got the Mac twins, McBob and McBuckets, are in the starting lineup tonight. So, I mean, it's about... I hate to say it's about being hot, because with Devontae Green, we know he's not hot shooting the ball, but he is hot from the standpoint of not turning it over, and that was a big bugaboo through most of the season. And Archie's been pretty consistent about that. If your name isn't Robert Johnson or Juwan Morgan, that if you start turning the ball over, you're coming out. Those are the only two that I can think of that haven't just been sat on their butt at some point in time if they turn it over a couple times and been careless with it.
Yeah, and this is close to home for Devontae. Being a New York kid.
That's right. He had a great game at Seton Hall.
Exactly. He's, you know, you get him in New Jersey and over in New York, he's going to play hard. He's going to have a good game. Again, he's not scared of those guys. It's just make good decisions with the ball. And he has in the last several games. He's made good decisions with the ball. I'd like to see him have a nice offensive night tonight. One thing the Hoosiers can't do, Dave, is they can't come out and do what they did against Ohio State and just become down 10 points just like that.
Yeah.
Because these guys are tough. They've proven to be tough. They've played Michigan State tough. They've played Purdue tough. When they're at home in that place, I think it probably holds 8,000 or 9,000 maybe, and it'll probably be packed. I mean, you know what? No matter what happens, people still know who Indiana is.
Yeah.
Even when we're mediocre, they know who it is. They know the history, and they've never beaten us since they've been in the Big Ten.
How do you let a guy who plays like Devontae Green have enough freedom to play the game that he wants to play, but still rein him in to the point where he's not killing you? Because I mean, bad shots are turnovers, you know, also they don't count in the books that way. But I ask that question because it seems to me like Josh Newkirk has got a little bit of that in him. Now, it's not as wild as Devontae. I mean, Devontae will, you know, throw it between his legs six times in a row and then step back three steps and you know, hoist it up from mid-court. You never know what he's going to do. So Josh isn't going to be, you know, quite that wild. But it seems to me there is a real – I asked class of this last week – a real fine line between reining you in so that you're not turning it over and being out of control, but also having the ability to ball, I mean, to play. And that's what some of these guys, you know, that's when they're at their best.
Right now, he's done it for about three games in a row. It's just, you know what, so much is a coach. Archie, it's his feel. It's feel. What does he look like out there? You may know what type of game Devontae is going to play in the first four or five trips down the floor. You really might.
when he gets set down.
Yeah, and at that point, you'll know if he takes him out, he's not happy with how he's gotten started, and if he doesn't. And I think as he's been around Archie now for, you know, three quarters of a year of games, I think he knows what needs to be done. And Archie will give him a longer leash as long as he shows, okay, I'm going to have a bad play from now and again. It's going to be the error of commission, not omission.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to make a few. And I think Archie will live with those. I think it's the dumb ones, the ones of omission, that he didn't do it right because he forgot or he didn't play by the book, and did something really stupid. As Archie said before, you just make the easy play.
Yeah.
We can remember Tom Crean saying the same thing. Just make the easy play. We don't have to throw alley-oops. We don't have to throw behind the back between the leg passes. Get for ball from A to B, score the ball, get back and play defense.
It's always interesting, though, watching, when you get a little reward
for
the good play, if that where that goes in your head.
I know.
We will see as Devontae Green is a part of the starting lineup, along with Freddie McSwain, both rewarded for a good play against Michigan State. And, of course, Freddie started in that game, too. But they're in with Robert Johnson, Juwan Morgan, and Zach McRoberts. That tips off here just in about 10 minutes or so in Piscataway. But before we leave you tonight, there was a rather big football game over the weekend. I had forgotten what football looked like on television. It had been a couple weeks since we'd seen any, but Super Bowl, New England, you heard it here, New England Patriots, Philadelphia Eagles. I lost track of how many New England's been in since Belichick's been there. It's 9 or 10 that they've been in. Just an amazing streak with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. But not on this night as the Philadelphia Eagles. It was an offensive show, 1,151 yards. That's an NFL game record.
Yeah, not just a Super Bowl.
No.
Ever
an
any.
NFL game
Amazing.
Record in this particular game. 41-33 was your final. Some big plays down the stretch. The only turnover for the Patriots was a strip sack at the end that gave the Philadelphia Eagles their final field goal. Nick Foles, this kid, I think everybody forgot how good he was when he was with the Eagles a couple years ago with Chip Kelly and how good that offense was. I want to say the interception rate to touchdown ratio was in the neighborhood of 25-2 during a stretch of time in that season. And they got back to some of that stuff that Chip Kelly runs, the run-pass option stuff that where he gets to make decisions out there. And kid had to get out of the pocket on occasions and was accurate and smart with the ball. He had all the poise of a guy that's been playing forever. And, 2 months ago, I think everybody thought their season was over despite the great start because of losing Carson Wentz. This kid just came right back in and acted like he never left the job.
No, he was spectacular, and he did. He looked like his first year or two with Chip until he got hurt, right? He got hurt with Philly, I think, in the second year, and then ended up, they let Chip go, he goes, whatever. It's what I know you were jumping up and down with yesterday was offensive line play, probably by both teams. Mm-hmm. I mean, tremendous. When Foles did have to go through his progressions,
yeah.
He had time.
Yeah.
And Lord, you don't want to give Tom Brady, he didn't get a sack in that fumble until the last part of the game.
Yep.
Tremendous offensive line play yesterday.
You're exactly right. 505 yards passing for Brady, but 373 for Nick Foles. Great play calling for Philadelphia in a couple big spots. I mean, the reverse pass by Trey. I mean, that's just fantastic. A couple big fourth downs. So fun game to watch. And that's, I think, what you want more than anything else is a good and interesting game.
Absolutely.
Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. We will return. Glass and I will return from Bobby's Colorado Steakhouse on Wednesday night to reveal the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame 2018 class. So join us then. College basketball tomorrow night. Michigan State is at Iowa and high school basketball on Friday night. Terry will be in Columbus for South at Columbus North. Tonight, you've been in the zone.